It's like a toddler. When you're helping a toddler walk, the parents get behind them and they hold their hands and they help them walk. And everybody on the other side is cheering and say, wow, that's good, keep coming. But you know and I know, if the parent were to let go of those hands, they will fall. You see, in the same way you and I walk the Christian life, you're saved is because God is walking behind you. He is strengthening you and He is proving Himself. When we take that credit away and we say, look, I was this and I was that and I went to the right church or I've been to the right Bible study or I had the right mentors. You see, what you're doing at that moment is you're taking credit away from Christ.
You just heard a portion of the upcoming message titled Thankful for Salvation by Pastor Abadan Shah of Clearview Church in Henderson, North Carolina. At Clearview, our focus is on making Christ visible, from the way we worship, to the way we serve, to the way we love one another. Come check us out at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson, or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for the rest of this week's message.
We're in a series called Thankful, and it is to prepare us for the holiday season. As I mentioned a few moments ago, it is important for us to have the right perspective. And this is the final message titled Thankful for Salvation. What I have discovered is that the more we grow in the Christian life, the more grateful we become for our salvation. In other words, the more you understand the love of God, the grace of God, the more you understand what He did on the cross for us, the more amazed we are at why God would save someone like us. I can tell you from my personal life, early on I used to think, man, God really lucked out in saving me because I'm going to do great things for His kingdom. The longer I've been saved, I wonder why in the world would He save me? Why would He agree to my plea for salvation? And this morning, I pray that when this message is over, your hearts would be filled with gratefulness. You'd be thankful for what Christ has done for you. And not just this week or this season, but throughout your life, you would come back to your salvation again and again every day, thanking God for saving you, thanking God for rescuing you. Today we're going to meet someone who never got over his salvation. In fact, towards the end of his life, he was even more grateful than he was in the beginning of his life. And I'm talking about the Apostle Paul. You have your Bibles with you. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 12. And let's all stand together for the reading of God's Word. Paul is talking to his son in the ministry, his son in his mentorship. He says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. And I want us to turn our attention to the screen and say it with me. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. This morning, how thankful are you for your salvation? I'll tell you this morning, folks, it is not automatic. For some people, they never get over their salvation. For the rest of us, we have to be prodded and reminded to be grateful for our salvation. How grateful are you? How do you see yourself in comparison to others in your family who are saved, to others in the body of Christ? Do you say with Paul, I am the chief of sinners? Or do you always come out looking better than the other person? Paul, the one who wrote Romans and Corinthians and Galatians and rest of the epistles, says, I am the first in line who doesn't deserve the grace of God. He got it. Do you get it? And are you saved? If this morning you're not saved, I pray that as we go through this message, the Holy Spirit would open your hearts. And as Paul said, I did it ignorantly in unbelief. I pray that none of you would deliberately reject the gospel. If there is one word that is constantly found in Paul's letters, it's the word charis. Now, if you grew up in church, been through Bible studies, Sunday school, you know the word charis means grace. Paul constantly used it in his letters. He used it as he opened his letters. He used it as he closed his letters. If you remember, in most of those letters, he begins with grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He begins with grace. When he closes his letter, he would say, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. What does the word grace mean? Well, it's more than just a polite greeting. The word charis is more than just, hey, how are you? It is much more than that. For Paul, the word was a reference to the saving act of God in Christ Jesus. That word grace, charis, represented God coming down through his son Jesus Christ to save him who was undeserving. Repeatedly he used those words. In fact, when we say the word Eucharist, what does the word Eucharist mean? It means giving thanks. Eucharis, giving thanks. That's what Paul constantly used, that word charis. But it also had the meaning of thankfulness. Paul used it often to express thankfulness to God for his salvation. In today's message, we're going to learn from Paul how to be thankful for our salvation, what it takes to be constantly living in the zone of gratefulness for salvation. This is a message for me, because often I lose track, I lose sight of the main thing, and people or situations or problems or needs take me away from where I need to be. And I need to be grateful constantly, every single moment, grateful for God for saving me through Jesus Christ. How did Paul do that? Three things very quickly. You have to acknowledge your weakness before God. Listen again to verse 12. Paul says, I thank Christ Jesus. You see, that's the reason I chose the passage. I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me. That word means strengthened me. Paul was thanking God for giving him the strength, but also continually strengthening him. Now, there is a mistranslation here. Some of your Bibles say, because he counted me faithful. That word for because should actually be that he counted me faithful. What Paul is saying here is this. I'm grateful to God because he has given me strength, and that he counted me faithful. Paul hasn't proven that he was faithful, and then God said, oh, Paul, you're such a faithful person, so I'm going to give you strength. It's just the opposite. God enabled him and counted him faithful even before he was faithful. And the word actually is trustworthy. Now, folks, if you want somebody to be trustworthy, you need a track record for them. Paul is saying, God is so good, and I'm so grateful to Jesus Christ because he strengthened me before I had a track record of faithfulness, trustworthiness. Folks, isn't that the same thing with us? Doesn't God save us before even knowing how we will turn out? I mean, that's his grace. Why would he choose me? Why would he adopt me? Why would he bring me into his family not knowing that I will fail him or prove him right? And God knows all things. But still, Paul says, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has strengthened me, that he counted me trustworthy, putting me into the ministry. Paul is giving God all the credit. All the credit. When we take credit away from God, what we're doing is we're saying, God, I know what you've done for me, but you see, I also have something to offer. You picked me because I was pickable. Not true. He picked you out of his sovereign grace. It's like a toddler. When you're helping a toddler walk, the parents get behind them and they hold their hands and they help them walk. And everybody on the other side is cheering and say, wow, that's good, keep coming. But you know and I know, if the parent were to let go of those hands, they will fall. You see, in the same way you and I walk the Christian life, you're saved is because God is walking behind you. He is strengthening you and He is proving Himself. When we take that credit away and we say, look, I was this and I was that and I went to the right church or I've been to the right Bible study or I had the right mentors. You see, what you're doing at that moment is you're taking credit away from Christ. Give it back to Him. And if your mentors are the right mentors, guess what they will tell you? Don't give it to me, give it to Christ. Let God get all the glory. Do you understand how weak you and I are? Do you see how much you need Christ to enable you? Do you give Him thanks every single day? Do you thank Him for your salvation, acknowledging your weakness before Him? Something else. Listen to verse 13. Paul says, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy. Always remember your fallenness. Never forget where you came from. Never forget where God found you. Don't think that you are where you are because of some right decisions or right strategy. You are where you are by the grace of God. Remember where you came from. Paul says, I was a blasphemer. You know what he was doing? He was denying that Jesus Christ was God's Son. He was a persecutor. He was going from place to place, capturing men and women who were Christians, who were of the way, and killing them. He was an insolent man. You know what insolent really means? He was a bully. Now, I don't know about you, but I hate bullies. Because bullies pretend to be stronger than you, but they're really not. And they try to intimidate you, hoping that you will never catch on. Paul is so truthful. He said, I was a bully when Jesus found me. Wow. But I obtained mercy. But something else Paul says here. Listen to verse 13 again. Because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Now, this is very important to understand. Mercy came to Paul, but Paul could have resisted that mercy. You know, there are two ways that you can unbelieve. One is the ignorant unbelief, and the second is the deliberate unbelief. What is the ignorant unbelief? Where you just don't know. You've never heard the gospel. Maybe you're sitting here this morning, you've been to church all your life, but the first time you're hearing that you cannot save yourself, that you need Christ to open your eyes to come and rescue you, and you have been ignorant all this time, and you go, wow, I didn't know that. I need Jesus to come into my life. I need Him to save me. That's unbelief and ignorance. What is deliberate? You know the truth, but you're not going to receive it. You know, Jesus had people like that in His ministry. They constantly attacked Him. They constantly bucked Him. Listen to John chapter 8, verse 22. Jesus talked to them. He said, the Jews said to Him, will He kill Himself because He says, where I go, you cannot come? He was telling them, I'm going to die for your sins. And Jesus said to them, you are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. Therefore, I said to you, listen to this. You will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Wow. Means there is no hope for you. You have rejected me. You are going to die in your sins. You have deliberately rejected my grace. If this morning your heart is saying, I'm listening to Him, but I'm not going to go all the way. Folks, don't listen to me. Listen to the Word. Let the Bible, let the Word of God guide you. If this book says you need to be saved, then you need to be saved. Forget about me. Because if you reject this Word, you're rejecting the word of Christ, you will die in your sins. Something else Jesus says to them, therefore I said to you, who, and then they said to him, who are you? Same question people, Paul asked, who are you, Lord? And Jesus said to them, just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. Listen, they did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. If your heart is closed to the truth, you will not understand the gospel. If you have made up your mind that, Pastor Shaw, he's a good preacher. I like Clearview. I mean, it's a cool place. But I have this boundary that I'm not going to cross. I don't want to become a Baptist or some other way you're saying it. I want to go ahead and tell you, if you're deliberately rejecting the mercy of God coming to you because of some preconceived notion, you will die in your sins. You will never understand the gospel. You know what the sin is? The unpardonable sin, people ask. Is it suicide? Cursing God? The unpardonable sin is rejecting the Holy Spirit. Saying to the Holy Spirit, no, I think it's good and all, but I am not going to submit to that. Folks, if it's in this book, you don't have a choice. What Paul is saying is, I did all this in ignorance, but God showed me his mercy. You know, there's a man who is constantly rejecting the gospel. I've known him for almost 18 years, and I've visited him in the early years. I used to visit him a lot. And guess what he would tell me every time I came? I knew it was a matter of time before he brought it up. He would say, preacher, I used to go to church. I was in there all the time, and I was serving everything. But you know what happened to that preacher? He ran off with so-and-so's wife. The first time I was like, man, I'm so sorry. You know, that shouldn't have happened. That's shameful. That's horrible. Now, and that tells you that devil is working. I left, came back a few months later, and I began to share the gospel with him, just in a very casual way, just telling him, you know, Christ needs to be first in your life, and the only way you can receive him is by grace through faith. Did I ever tell you about that preacher who ran off? I was like, yeah, you did the last time. I came back a few months later, the next year and the next year. It was always the same thing. You know what he was doing? He was trying to shut me up by bringing up that preacher. Unless that man receives Christ, he will die and go to hell. This is what Paul says. And the grace of our Lord, I love this, was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Now, there are several things he says over here. Number one is grace. Then he talks about faith. Then he talks about love. Grace is the same thing. God's unmerited favor. Faith. When you come to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, listen, if you just say, God, I need you to save me, at that moment, he even gives you the faith. You see how weak and incapable we are. He even gives you the faith to say, yes, I trust in Jesus. And what else does he do? He covers you with love. When you walked in this morning, God has been showing you love. People are coming, shaking your hands, talking to you, being nice to you. Why are they doing that? Because God is motivating them and sending them to you to soften your heart. Grace, faith, love. But listen to this. It was exceedingly abundant. The word is hyperpleonazo, which means hyper. God's love is hyper. Folks, if you want to understand that love, look to the cross. That is God's hyper grace, faith, and love. That Jesus died and suffered what you are supposed to suffer for the rest of eternity. Question this morning. Do you remember where God found you? Are you still lost? Is it ignorant unbelief? Or is it deliberate unbelief? I know someone else, every time there's another question. It started out with how did Cain find his wife, to how did Noah get all the animals on the ark, and then it was something else, and something else, and it's something else. And I tell the person, I said, listen, there are more questions that even I can't answer. Are you going to make sure you have all the answers before you get saved? Well, you know, it's hard for me to believe. It's hard for me to trust. You will die in your sins. Because you're being deliberate. Listen again to what Jesus said to the Pharisees, John 9:39. And Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind." Means if you even see the grace of God and you reject it, guess what's going to happen? A blindness is going to come upon you. You will have more questions and more questions and more doubts and more doubts. Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, "Are we blind also?" And Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remains." Wow. Because you think you know, sin remains. This morning, if you are saved, go back to how Jesus found you. How did he find me? You heard my testimony before. I was 4 years old. I hadn't robbed a bank. I haven't killed anybody. I was just 4 years old, sitting by my mom's bed, and she shared the gospel with me. The gospel was very simple. You know, if Jesus comes today, daddy's going to heaven, and mom's going to heaven, and brother's going to heaven. But you know, are you going to heaven? I thought, how do you go to heaven? Well, you have to receive Jesus as your Savior, as your Lord. In a four-year-old's mind, I didn't understand all the gospel that I do today, but I said, yes, I want to go to heaven. I want Jesus to save me. And it was 14 years of age when I finally understood all that it meant. And I walked forward in the sight of all. But folks, that was my testimony. So you don't have to be a bad, bad person like Paul, but you have to receive Christ as your Savior. Number three. How can you be thankful? Acknowledge your weakness, remember your fallenness, and worship with gratefulness. Listen to verse 15. Paul says this famous line. He said this is a faithful saying. He's launching into praise. "And worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Let me just kind of give you the background for that statement. Paul wrote this letter to Timothy in the last 2 years of his life. Paul is facing death. More than likely, death by beheading. He has written most of the letters, Romans, Corinthians, most of these have already been written. You would think Paul would be so full of himself. And yet he is so simple, he says, "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." He is going back to the basics. He is grateful. He is worshiping God. What else does he say? Listen to verse 16. "However, for this reason I obtain mercy, that in me, first Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for eternal life." Paul is our pattern. You know, sometimes people say, Paul could say that, but I can't. We should be saying the same thing. Paul is our example. Do you say with Paul, "I am the chief of sinners"? You know, in a marriage relationship, when the husband and wife are fussing and fighting, and we're busy trying to make the other person look bad. We're busy trying to nail them to the wall, when we should be saying, "I'm a bigger sinner than you, honey." Paul is our pattern. But in the church body, we're busy criticizing each other for things that are right or not right and wrong or not right enough, when we should be saying, "I'm a bigger sinner." How do you see yourself? If Paul is our pattern, do you say with Paul, "I am the chief, I am the worst one"? That's true humility. But now listen to Paul. He's about to launch into another praise time. He says, "Now to the King eternal," means the King of ages, immortal, invisible, "to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. So much I can say about that verse. Do you know the gospel? This morning, if you don't know the gospel, let me explain to you the gospel. It's very simple. The gospel has a declaration, and then it has a decision. What is the declaration of the gospel? The declaration is this: Jesus brought God's kingdom into this world. He is Christ. He is God's anointed king who came and he died on the cross for your sins according to the scriptures. As prophesied in the scriptures, Jesus, God's son, the king of the world, came and died for you. He was buried according to scriptures, but he rose again on the third day and was seen by many. Folks, that's the declaration of the gospel. God's son came, died, buried, rose again as prophesied, and there was evidence. Then comes the decision. What's the decision? You have to repent. What is repentance? Repentance, we used to say, you're going one way, you turn around, and you go the other way. You know what real repentance is? It's not just going one way and then turning around. Repentance is a change of mind. You have to change your mind about sin. You have to change your mind about holiness. You have to change your mind about what God has done for you through Christ Jesus. Because I can go back and forth all day and keep going back to sin, but when I change my mind, I realize how horrible sin is and how holy God is. I can't go back there again. Repentance is a change of mind about sin, self, and Savior. Then comes belief. You have to believe. You have to trust that Jesus is God's Son who has paid the penalty of your sins. And He can remove the guilt of sin and give you eternal life. You have to believe. You say, well, I haven't seen Him. Where is He? 2,000 years ago, He came and did that. By faith, you have to receive it. By faith. You say, oh, that's hard. Folks, we exercise faith every day. When you came to the traffic light, you had faith. Right? You had faith that those people are going to stop. What happens when they don't stop? Well, you know. Repent, believe. What's the third thing? Follow Him. It's not just enough to say, I've changed my mind and I trust Jesus. But now from this day on, He is your King. You have to obey Him and follow Him no matter the cause. That's why Paul said, what did he say again? He said, now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible God, who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever. Paul called Jesus his King. Isn't that sad? Some of us are going to enter Thanksgiving season without thanking God for the main thing, which is salvation. We're going to thank God for the food. We're going to thank God for the family. We're going to thank God for our job and health. But folks, the greatest thing is salvation, because this life is finite. It's a short period of time. What, 80 years, 90 years, 100 years? But there is a life coming that never ends. Jesus came to give us access to that life. And it's only by repentance, belief, and obedience that you can receive that life.
Thank you so much for joining us for this message. As believers, it should constantly amaze us that God chose to save us. Even while we were still sinners, God sent His Son to die the death we deserve to die, so that we could have forgiveness of our sins and eternal life in Him. It's this knowledge that should make us go and share with others the hope that's within us. Are you thankful for your salvation? For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org. And for this sermon's notes, check out Pastor Shaw's blog at abadonshaw.com.